Amen. Well, I was telling my wife that my message today was too long because you can't talk about the love of God in 2 weeks and get it all in. So it's way too long, and I had to narrow it down. So I came up with a solution. I just made my font smaller. Hence the glasses. No, we're talking about upgrading our love. Upgrading our love. You know, because we need an upgrade in love. Because natural human love, the love that we have that just functions in this world, is not enough. Natural human love, how many of you know it can turn to hatred overnight? It can and often does. And so if we're going to upgrade our love, well, you have to understand that upgrading our love is not easy. It's not celebrated. Why? Because it takes work. And we live in a world that is, through media, love is so romanticized that we think that, you know, if it's the right person, it'll just happen and we'll just flow together and there'll never be any problems. And I always look at people who have that bubble burst, and I just think, what planet are you living on? That doesn't work that way for anybody anywhere, only in the movies. And even then, you know, there's so many movies that, you know, that just, sometimes they will tell the truth. You got to go way back, because the first thing that popped into my head was difference between Crocodile Dundee 1 and Crocodile Dundee 2, you know? The guy and the girl get married in 1. What happens in 2? They're not married anymore. Love lost. We need to upgrade our love. And I've got good news for you that we can do that. It is not only desirable, but it takes work. But the reason why it's not easy is because it runs counter, as I've just kind of explained, to our culture. Upgrading our love will require less emotion and more character. Sometimes it'll need less feelings and more discernment. Less romantic bliss and more pure work. I got news for you. If you're in a relationship with somebody, you're married, whatever, they're an imperfect human being. Now, you notice I started with them.
Right.
Because you are a perfect human being. And not. Anyway, the thing is, we need to add some other concepts into our understanding of love. Things like forgiveness. Because we're not perfect people. There needs to be more openness and less hiding. More communication, more serving. And again, we don't learn these from TV or media, which teach us a kind of superficial, low-grade romantic love that serves, that focuses on serving me. Oh, how you make me feel. And other, you know what? There's just some days the feelings aren't there. I use this example over and over again, but you know what? We claim to love this person. We'll give our dying breath for them until we won't, until we don't feel it. But you know what? You'll put more into your job and career than you will a relationship, because you're not going to feel like getting up and going to work tomorrow. But you're going to do it anyway, aren't you? Why? Because you know there's a paycheck coming. There's a payoff. I got news for you that if you will take a little time and intentionality and put into practice some of the things we're going to talk about today, upgrade your love, and God will help you. There is a God kind of love that's different than natural human love. But you're going to have to change the way you think. But there's a payoff in your relationships, all your relationships, any kind of relationship, family, girlfriend, boyfriend, marriage, whatever, you know. God is there. And the fact is that this low-grade love that is self-centered that our world preaches, it will not sustain relationships over the long haul. Upgrading our love looks more like this. Look at this verse with me in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. He says, I pray that your love may abound, that is, increase and overflow, still more and more, notice this, in real knowledge and all discernment. Now, yeah, I guess I won't go there. Sometimes I get ornery. Yeah, it won't go there. When we upgrade our love, it'll be more knowledgeable and discerning so that we will see clearly life and love from the perspective of God's love, divine love. With this, we will understand better and become better in all of our relationships. Because when we get love right, we get everything else right, because love is a core value in God's kingdom. But an upgraded love, it doesn't happen instantly or only in one moment, one time. It's not just an emotion. It has to be fed and nurtured daily. So once again, here it is. If you got, by the way, long time you haven't had, but there are fill in the blanks in your service program, so feel free. If you need a pen, there's some at the back, I think. Anyway, love takes work. Name me anything on this planet worth having that doesn't take work. Anything. What is there on this planet that's of great value, that is worth having, that doesn't require some kind of work or maintenance? Sleep? Well, yes, but I don't know about you, but the older I get, I got one of these beds that I can change its positions because, you know, sometimes you just lay in the same positions over and over for night after night. You get sore, you get tired, and sleep ain't so good. So, you know, it requires something even just to sleep. Anyway, love takes work. Notice what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another. C.S. Lewis, he was a Brit, lived in the last century, but a brilliant man. Atheist until he did come to the Lord, received Jesus Christ. And anyway, he wrote this about love in his book, The Four Loves. He refers to love, your loving relationships as a garden. He says, such a garden will not fence itself. You know, if you got a garden growing and you want to keep critters from coming in, destroying what you got growing there, you need a fence. It will not weed itself. How many of you know weeds still grow in your garden? I got news for you. Not only literal weeds that grow in the ground, but you know what? There's weeds in your life too. There are weeds that come in and sap your strength, sap your love energies for other people. And you've got to deal with those things. We don't live. This is not heaven. We don't live in heaven. And that's part of the curse that's in this earth, is that you got to work at it. It's going to cost you something. Such a garden will not fence and weed itself, nor prune its own fruit trees, nor roll and cut its own lawns. It will remain a garden as distinct from a wilderness only if somebody does these things, says C.S. Lewis. Listen, because we do, is if you're a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, you have God's love poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit. It is already there. We have the capacity to love other people with God's love, just not natural human love that's so fickle. But because we live in a fallen, messed up, broken world, we have to work at loving the many different kinds of personalities that come into our life. Amen? Love takes discipline, practice, intentionality. We talk about that. Grace Marriage is coming up here in a few weeks. Got to be intentional about it. It's just, oh, love, if it's just love, it'll just happen. No, it does not just happen. Not a love that lasts. It takes work. But if we'll direct our energies rightly, we will enjoy blessings in our relationship that we could never imagine. Our human hearts don't change easily. But as we live in the love of Jesus, our love grows and we begin to see what real love is and what it's not. So upgrading our love, well, it can take a while. Why? Because we got to learn new things and we've got to unlearn some wrong things that we've been living and thinking. It's called stinking thinking. So let's keep going. You know, in our culture today, there are many different groups that want to define love and coerce other people into their understanding of love. And they say, what difference does it make who I love? Love is love. Love is love. Or this one, well, you can't help who you love. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And love is not love. In other words, all love is equal. No, it's not. Listen, my love for my children and my grandkids is not the same love that I have for my wife. It's different. The love that I have for you is different. It shows up in different ways. This doesn't mean it doesn't all have its strengths, but it's not. Love is not love. No. There are different kinds of love. Family love, romantic love, the love for and of a friend. There's the love of things. Some of us need to outgrow. You know, my love for my house is not the same as, again, my love for my wife or other things. My love for her is just different. Okay? But even in each of these, how do we know what real love is, and how then do we express that? Well, let's review from last time in 2 John, a little book toward the end of the Bible. 2 John verse 6 says, and this is love. You can listen to all the poets you want, but this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk, conduct yourself according to God's love. True love treats other people according to what God's word says, whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to get up and I'm going to serve my wife, my kids, my grandkids. I'm going to love them according to what the word says, whether I feel like it or not. It doesn't have anything to do with it. Love is not just a feeling. And if that's the extent of your love is about this big. You little tiny thing. Because guess what? As we've already talked about, you're not going to feel the same every day. Nobody does. And if you live your life based on feelings, how's that working out for you? Seriously. I love good feelings, romantic feelings. Those things are wonderful. I'm not downplaying them, but you know what? They don't determine whether or not I'm going to love you. We have a wonderful congregation. I get very little flack, if any, at times, but there's been times through the years. People are just strange, you know? Whatever, and they say things. One of my favorite, and she did not mean it at all, and this is why I talk about what I wear, not because I really care, because I didn't used to, but one lady, a sweet lady, she came up, oh, Pastor, I could hardly look at you today. You're just, the colors just clashed. And then she realized what she was saying, and she goes, oh, Pastor, I am so sorry. I just laughed. Thank you. That's good to know. So I run it by my wife, and when my daughter lived at home, ran it by them. Is this okay? No, you cannot wear that. Now, when I'm not in front of you, you know, you see me out and about, no telling what you're going to see me in, but anyway, whatever. It's clothes. I'm glad I have them, but I like what's comfortable. Okay. Anyway, you're going to treat others according to the word of God. What God's word says, how you're to relate with other people. Not according even to how they think they want to be treated. Because sometimes people think they want one thing, and then when you give it to them, they find out, no, that's not what I wanted. And you can run yourself ragged. And it's not even how you may feel that you want to treat them. Real love isn't emotion feeling based. That's the icing on the cake. Real love is actions, treating people according to God's word. Love isn't giving in to keep the peace so as not to rock the relational boat. True love will treat and do toward others as God directs us to do from his word. Some people will see and recognize this, recognize God's love is, and they'll appreciate it. Others won't. But the goal in our life, listen to me, isn't always to please other people. Did you know that God himself cannot please everybody? Jesus came, did he please everybody? No, they nailed him to a cross. What makes you think you're going to please everybody in your life? That is an exercise in futility. So if you just treat people according to the word, some people like it, some people won't. That's okay, because you know what? I may not have to live with them, but I have to live with myself. And I want to have a clear conscience. I want to be at peace. And if I know I've done what the word says, you know, even in this exercise, what we're doing right here, me coming and sharing God's word with you. Some of you, you're going to like what's being said. Some of you, you're not going to like it. And you know what? Let me know. I mean, if I've made some major faux pas, that's one thing. But overall, if I've given what I know God has put on my heart to share, I'm at peace whether you're happy with it or not. And that is love. I don't like everything I read in the Bible. There's some verses I wish weren't there, you know? But it doesn't matter how I feel, whether I like it. God, you're the creator. You've given us the manual for living this in this world. And if we want to be successful at it, maybe I'll start paying attention to what you say, whether I like it or not. Okay? All right. So anyway, I want you to notice this. Let's read some passages here quickly. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is in a conversation with some people who are antagonistic towards him. And it says in verse 35, one of them, an expert in Old Testament scripture, Old Testament law, Jewish law that ruled the culture then and in Israel does today, tested him with this question, putting Jesus to the test. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in all of God's law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, meaning equal to it. 1A, 1B. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets, all the Old Testament scriptures hang on these two commandments. You know, there are churches today that they really dig into all the Old Testament commandments and try to, you know, customize them a little bit for today, and you've got to keep these rules. As I've said before, you know what? The Ten Commandments, great, wonderful. But if you ask me right now, I could probably only quote about half of them. But I keep them all. Well, if you can't, tell you, how can you keep them? Because it's love. Love is what is we're going to, well, let's just read this next passage in Romans chapter 13. Beginning of verse 8, it says, let no debt remain outstanding, okay, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, or whatever other commandment there may be. All the rest of them are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If you love somebody, you won't try to kill them. Most days. You won't murder them. If you love somebody, you're not going to lie to them, deceive them. If you love somebody, you're not going to covet and jealously want what they've got. If you love people, you're not going to steal from them. Love, walking in love, is a fulfillment of the law. The word love in the New Testament scripture, it's in the ancient world, the word agape is the Greek word. It's rarely, if ever, used in secular writings. But in the New Testament, this word was given to mean the God kind of love. So whenever it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's the word agape. And agape is love by choice. It refers to the will to love, the decision to love, rather than the emotion of love. It doesn't need chemistry or a feeling. It is unconditional love. And in Scripture, again, it's used for the God kind of love, not natural human love. It is selfless, not selfish, selfless, and exists regardless of the circumstances. You ever have one of those days, husbands, where it doesn't matter what you do, you're always, seems like you're irritating your wife? Yeah. Okay. Love continues to serve and is patient and is kind, as we read from 1 Corinthians 13. You know, love is patient, love is kind. All the different things that we read. Continue regardless of the circumstances. You know, sometimes people do. You need to back off. Give them some space. Let them have their morning cup of coffee. And then try to talk to them, okay? It's in, as we read, that you grow in love and all knowledge and discernment. Mama needs some alone time. Okay. I've got my phone. I'll be hiding somewhere until you're ready to talk, you know, that kind of thing. It's okay. Discernment. Being flexible, because sometimes that is love. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. That's right, Pastor. People need to be born again. They need to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Yeah, and some people live as that's the only thing that we need to do. And I'm not downplaying that in the least. But notice, and to love one another as he commanded us. I've known people that, you know, got to get people born again. And everything they do and the way they approach it and the way they talk to people. You know what's missing? Love. They're just jerks. Just most of them, they were jerks before they got saved. And now they just have a new cause. This is his command. You believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. It's not an either or proposition. It's both and. 1 John, just drop down to chapter 4, verse 8. I'll read verse 8 and then 11 to 12. It says, whoever does not love does not know God. You can be an insensitive cad, rub people the wrong way, turn people off, and claim you're doing it for the gospel's sake. All you want to. But if you do not love, you do not know God. Don't look at me that way. I'm just reading it. Because God is agape. God is love. Doesn't say he has love. He is love. Dear friends, verse 11 says, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Amen. I got news for you. It's easy to come to church and love other people. Oh, hi, how are you? Good to see you. Fist bump. You know, sometimes we're kinder, we're nicer to strangers, but love begins at home with the people who are closest to you. Because, man, sometimes isn't that the hardest place to show love? Amen. That's where the trial is. But listen, if you can learn to master it at home, God, I thank you. You've given me your love. And I want to grow in knowledge and discernment in my love so that I can love better at home. Because if you can master it there, guess what? Everywhere else becomes a whole lot easier. Mm-hmm. Love people that are closest to you, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your spouse, your kids. Your love for God goes through them first. Furthermore, guess what? Walking closely with God is synonymous with walking in harmony with those around us. Listen, can we think and speak poorly of brothers and sisters in Christ and walk closely with God? Well, Scripture says, no, you can't. You're deceiving yourself. Remember this. Feelings follow actions. And this is where our world has it so backwards. Because our world wants to, I want to feel it, then I can act. Then I'll act out of that feeling. And again, your feelings are fickle, just like mine. You're in love one moment, out of love the next moment. But guess what? If you can act your way into feeling. Because there's a lot of times, I tell you what, I don't have time to tell you, thank God, to all of my foibles in this area. But there have been times that I've had to grit my teeth. God, this is what your word says. I hate this person at the moment, but I need to love them. So how am I going to do that? Go serve them. Hi, how are you? Here's this. Can I help you with it? And I do it through gritted teeth. You say, well, Pastor, isn't that hypocritical? Again, this is what the world teaches, that you're being hypocritical. You're not being true to your heart when you do things that are not according to feeling. No, I got a whole sermon I do on this, and I have to recap it very quickly. But what is a hypocrite? Pretending to be something that you're not, right? Well, let me ask you, who are you in Christ Jesus? You're a child of God. You're born again. You've got the love of God poured out into your heart. I submit to you by you not loving them with agape love, the God kind of love, you're being a hypocrite because you're not being true to who you really are in Christ Jesus. That's where you're being a hypocrite. Not by, you know, some of you may not have felt like coming to church today, but you did anyway. You're not being a hypocrite because the enemy will lie to you, say, oh, you know what you did this last week. You know what you did last night, and you're going to come to church. You hypocrite. No. Coming to church is the most honest, true to myself thing that I can do in spite of my stupidity. I'm not a hypocrite because I showed up at church. I was a hypocrite when I was doing the dumb thing last night. That's when I was being a hypocrite because I'm not being true to who I am in Christ Jesus. That's right. But the enemy, the world, has deceived us into thinking, no, it's not that way. If you think you're so spiritual, you go to church. I know what you're really like. No. I was being hypocritical then. Amen. And I'm going to go get more right so I can change the way that I live out here. Doing the right thing from God's word for a follower of Jesus Christ is the most unhypocritical thing you do. But the point is, you may have to do it through gritted teeth sometimes. When you really don't feel like it. But you know what? If you keep ministering that, God will begin to give you discernment. And you'll find out things about people that you thought there is absolutely nothing good about this person, nothing I like. You'll find out that there are. And that doesn't mean they're going to become your best friend. But it means you're going to find that there may be common points that you can connect with them to accomplish good things. Okay, well, that was for free. Feelings will follow action. Don't wait to feel love before you act in love, because you may never act, and therefore you'll never experience the fullness of God's love. 1 John chapter 2, verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light, walking with understanding, know what they're doing, but hates his brother, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble, to trip, get tripped up. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going, but I promise you, he thinks he does. But he doesn't know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Verse 10 tells us that when we love, when we relate to people according to God's word, there is no cause of stumbling in us. In other words, as a person who's going to be a doer of the word toward other people around me, others may not like it because they don't get what they want from me the way they want it necessarily. But I can move forward without stumbling over that because of the confidence that I have in God. His promise is that he will watch over his word. Whenever I put it into practice, it's an act of faith, that God will watch over that and he'll perform it. In other words, he's going to further his will and good purposes in me and in them. Amen. The Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1, it says, this is right before Jesus is going to be taken to be crucified. Having loved his own, those are his disciples that are with him, who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Oh, what's Jesus going to do to show them the full extent of his love? Well, drop down to verse 4. It says, so he got up. They were having this last meal. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus demonstrates that love is the actions of serving other people. And sometimes that means helping people out who are never going to say thank you to you. You got some of those in your life? If you got kids, you know what. But beyond that, you stay out of that. It's mine. I'm talking to this guy. Maybe it means turning off. Oh boy, I'm going to meddling because football season's about to start. Maybe it means turning off a ball game to play with a child. I guarantee you, your team will win or lose whether you watch or not. I like watching football.
Me too.
Okay. But there's times you need discernment. This child needs something in this moment. And I can give it to them. I'm not going to oppress them by withholding it. I'm going to give it to them. Cost to myself. We got to lay down the outer garments of our own pride, our own comfort, and pick up the towel of humility and service, looking for opportunities to serve other people in love. It can mean laying down the social, the vocational, the job, the spiritual status that you deserve, and accept a place beneath that which you've earned in order to lift others up, to promote them, their well-being, their dreams, their agendas, their programs. Let's just take a moment. I mean, we've been bouncing back and forth, but directly looking at the other side, there's so much damage that's done due to a lack of love. You know, the person without love is not to be depended upon. Because being dependable, being trustworthy, depends not on the fact that I love you, but on the fact that I love God. Now, I'm going to make some guys mad, but ladies, listen to me. Any woman who says, I know my husband won't cheat on me because he loves me, you may be deceiving yourself. But if she can say, I know my husband won't cheat on me because he loves God. And he loves me. His dependability and trustworthiness is much more certain. The ability in your life to make powerful decisions is greatly diminished unless you are filled with God's love, the God kind of love, and you're giving God's love to other people. Because otherwise you'll be double-minded, unable to fully establish what you really believe, and therefore act and make decisions based on principle and conviction, unless you're living the love of God in your life. You'll end up becoming more reactive. You'll react to things that are said or done to you and unable to act in the proactive power of the God kind of love. But the results of the God kind of love functioning in your life, you'll become grace and truth motivated, not law motivated. You'll grow in wisdom and discernment. Love allows us to sort and prioritize rightly. Discerning matters of importance. Listen, only the God kind of love knows the difference between mountains and molehills. And I promise you, it's just not troublesome mountains that have wrecked relationships. Sometimes it's people tripping over a little molehill, something little that they just won't let go. Where love rules, goodness grows. Love lets people grow in goodness, but lovelessness in relationships makes people bitter and rebellious. Last verse, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says, they won the victory over Satan, the power of the enemy against us, because of the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus has done for us, and the word of their testimony, declaring God's word in your life and what he's done for you, says they didn't love their own lives so much as that they refused to give it up. Loving God more than my life allows me to walk in victory. If I love God more than my friends at school, I'll have victory at school. You won't get caught up in the traps that so many people fall to at whatever level of school you are. If I love God more than I love my business, then I have victory during recession. If I love God more than I love my reputation and status, I have victory over the temptations of pride and materialism. If I love God more than I love the demands of my own flesh, I have victory over the lust of the flesh. Loving God is the key to overcoming. Okay, now, I'm going to wrap this up. Okay, I'm done with that. Okay, but listen to me. This is the most important thing right here, because the question has got to come up. Okay, Pastor, I'm mildly interested. So how do I activate this love of God that is in me? How do I put it into practice? It involves you making first a choice. God, I want your love to function in me. But then, here's the thing, is you've got to exercise it. You got to put it into practice. knowing that it's not going to look pretty when you first start out. Because love takes work. It's hard. I mean, think about it. God so loved the world, every one of us who's ever lived, living now, and will live. God so loved everybody that what? He sent Jesus. And look what Jesus had to go through. You don't think that was tough? I know you're about to go eat lunch, but stay with me. You know, we have these nice, pretty pictures of Jesus hanging on a cross with a little trickle of blood from that crown of thorns. And he's there, he's looking a little bit tired, but like he's resting a little bit too. Now, the scripture says in the book of Isaiah that when they were finished with him, he did not resemble a human being. It says they pulled his beard out, ripped the flesh. We could go on, but like I said, we're going to go eat here lunch, right? So we'll just let it stand. What I'm saying is, God loves you so much, Jesus was willing to do the work that it took to secure a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. Anything in this broken, messed up world that's worth having requires work, and it's love. So you got to exercise it. And guess what? Like muscles, the more you exercise, it gets stronger, doesn't it? Get stronger. If you play a sport, the more you practice it doing whatever it is, whether it's shooting hoops, whether it's football, whether it's baseball, whatever it is, if you work on your skills, you'll get better. Ask any pro athlete. This is the thing that always amazes me. Yeah, look at that guy there. Man, that guy, he's a natural. He was born with his talent. Until you go talk to the person, the guy or the gal playing pro sports. Natural? You know how much work I put in every day to this? Yeah, there may be some basic athleticism there, but guess what? It has to be developed. Everybody has to develop it. So in order for the love of God to be, how do we walk in this kind of love? It starts with cooperating. That little nudge on the inside of you that says, don't say that. It will not be the loudest voice you hear in your head. But it's the one you need to be listening to. Don't say that right now. Instead, say something kind. I love you. I'm glad you're here. People, here. Four words will get you moving in the right direction. When the people you're around are just going back crazy because they're just having a bad day, the way you show love is you come up and you say, how can I help? How can I help? Well, you can get out of my face. Okay, I will. Well, I just got so much on my plate, I don't know where to start. Okay, well, let's look at it. I'm here. I'll be happy to help you. Even though you got a mound of work that you need to be doing. Okay? Listen. You start sowing these kinds of seeds, that's when it begins to grow. You've got to exercise. You've got to put it into practice. It's like the grace of God. You can't keep frustrating it. Well, I keep doing and saying the same things and conducting myself the same way. Why aren't things getting any better? Because, well, you know the saying, if you do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. That's the definition of insanity. Keep doing the same things the same way, expecting a different result. No, it's a choice. You've got three enemies, but you've got one God that's greater than one. The world system that says, you know, no, you just got to live by your feelings, and that's being true to yourself. We already discussed that. You got your own flesh. Your own flesh does not, the nature of the flesh of your body does not want to do the will of God. It wants to be a selfish pig. I want what I want when I want it. And you got to say no. You're not the boss of me. You will do what I tell you to do. If it's to help somebody move in the heat and the humidity, You do it because it's love. Your flesh says, no, I like the air conditioning. I'll just stay right here. Finally, you may want to write this down. This will help you more than anything. Not only exercising it, putting it into practice, but be quick to repent. I'm sorry. I was wrong. In fact, some of you, those words have never parted from your lips. Let's say it together, okay? We're going to say, forgive me, I was wrong. Are you ready? Forgive me, I was wrong. The world didn't come to an end. I'm alive. Yeah, and your life will get a lot better when you can say, forgive me, I was wrong. And then, not only repent, you need to be quick to forgive people. One of the things that I think was amazing, remember however long it's been ago, the guy went to the Amish school and shot up a bunch of kids? Remember that one? And the media was just astounded because in the midst of that community's grief and pain and suffering, these people said, we forgive him. We forgive him. Now, do you think that guy cares whether or not they forgave him? No, no, no. You understand. They weren't doing it for his sake. They were releasing that from themselves. They weren't going to be caught in an offense like that. I need to live free even in the most horrific things that happen in this world. I got to get that off me. We forgive them. That's why you even publicly declare, no, we forgive them. I don't care. I'm not asking you to forgive. It doesn't matter. It's not about you. It's about my life and living rightly. Let's all stand. Be quick to repent, quick to forgive. Listen, this love we're talking about that we've just really kind of scratched the surface of over these last couple of weeks, I want you to know that this is the love that God has for you. And aren't you glad that God doesn't love like we love? Hey, I don't feel very loving today, especially towards you. Deal with that. No, God's love is constant regardless of our circumstances. Regardless whether I've been a stupid idiot in the way I've treated the people around me. And I can be pretty dumb. Insensitive. This is where you got to be quick to repent. It'll go a long way. If you just put those into practice right where you are with the people you're with, pastor and his wife. She was ready to leave him. Called another minister, and the minister, she's actually talking to his wife. She says, see if you can get him to come over. So they came over. And the short story is, I mean, he was physically and verbally abusive, and she was a nag. It was a messed up situation. Going sideways every way, spinning around. I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the Amplified Translation, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient, love is kind, all these different things. And I want you to get up every morning, write it out, and read this to each other every morning when you wake up and before you go to bed at night. They came back in about 4 or 5 weeks and said, our lives are totally changed. We're not the same people anymore. He's repented. I can't believe I spoke to you that way. I can't believe I did those things. And she says, I didn't realize what a nag I was. And blah, blah, you know, on and on. And they changed. And they became more in love than ever before. Went on to many fruitful years in ministry. I'm telling you, love changes things. You got to just decide whether you want that in your life, all of your life, not just your romantic relationships, all of your life.